Okay.
Welcome to another BitPunk FM Unwound. If I sound different this time, it's because I do. I am recording this to tape. Realized here I am trying to advocate for cassettes. And why am I recording digitally? So I'm doing this on tape. It's actually the second time I'm recording this because the first time the tape ran out. And if it really bothers you, the like tape hiss, let me know. Boost me. Let me know. Send me a hate boost. Otherwise, I'm going to do this because what it does for me is I can turn off my computer, which is my main source of noise. And now I just have two pieces of equipment on. I've got my microphone preamp and the tape recorder. And I think I like it a lot better. Plus, I realized I had to listen. I have to listen to it twice anyway because I have to get the timestamps for the chapters. So I have to play it back and, I have to listen to it, the whole thing, which I might as well then just digitize it. So that's what I'm going to do going forward. Okay. And, so then the second item here is I'm starting to make the J cards for issue 04. I want to get everyone's, I'm going back and doing the legwork to find everyone who's returned value to me for BitPunk FM and adding your name to the J cards. I'm going to add the names alphabetically, either by Noster Nim or Boost Nim or whatever. So if you like really don't want to be on there because of like privacy reasons, somehow, hopefully you're listening, you'll let me know. Otherwise, I'll put your name on there. The first name will be a non, so you can just slide in under that. Going forward, I'll try to do it each episode, each tape release, so it'll be a smaller list. But I'm not going to put the boost amounts. I'll talk about this at the end, but I kind of feel like, there is a slight too focus on the boost values. And for example, there are some things that are, invaluable that people have returned to me, and I really can't put a number to that. And so I don't want to make it look like, hey, this is just like these people. So some people have, for example, my friend Uri, basically this whole thing would not be existing without him. And so, how do I quantize that information, like his encouragement to do this? So it's like, it can't be done. So, so I'm working on the J cards. The next thing is, kind of an update with value for value stuff is that we kind of reached a point now where things are actually running pretty smoothly, which then goes back to what some of the podcast OGs told me in the beginning. It is very painful to get set up. It's like a big mountain. I have to take a sip of coffee. Sorry. I guess I didn't have to take a sip, but I really wanted to, and it's still too hot. So it is all this stuff. And this is, I'm seeing this debate kind of come up with regards to AlbiHub. I want to say this all to the end, but basically what I'll say is it is painful to set up. Like, this is why I've recorded, this is how I started BitPunk FM Unwound. I want to keep these initial episodes of it being very frustrating, but then you do reach a point where it does just glide. So, in this kind of like AlbiHub, Albi drama of Albi kicking people off too, which actually, it's like crazy. I don't even think Albi was charging people to do this, right? So like all these people getting pissed off of this free service that they were doing as a benefit is insane. Like how much did, I guess Albi, I guess, was taking a percentage. I'm not sure, but like, what a baller service Albi did. And then I feel like they're just getting blamed for all this when, really, like, you can do this with your own stuff. I'm not going to say it's easy. That's why I kept the episodes here to show that it's not easy, but is it worth it? That's the question. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to go through the pain to be able to self-custody? I don't know. That's that's the big question we should be asking people, because if they have decided that yes, they want to be their own self-custodian, be their own bank, all that stuff, if the answer is yes, then here you go. Here's how you help you do it. If the answer is no, then, just be upfront about that and say, but then like, it's weird to have this weird in between where people on one hand are saying they like this self-custody thing, but then are also tied. So that's where the frustration, I think, is coming from people that seem hypocritical. But just be honest. I mean, like I use some custodial services, you know, just be honest with the risks. But like it is that there's a weird vibe going on now where it's like, okay, you're saying you like this and people are showing you the way, but then you're not taking it. And now everyone is kind of confused. So that I think is really where the drama is, because it's a real ocean tide coming out kind of moment to see who do you really care about the self-custody? Or did you just want like a really easy frictionless thing to do? And it's fine if you want the latter, like I'm not judging that. But the frustration is coming in from people that say they want the former, but then actually with their actions are saying they want the latter. Okay. Speaking of AlbiHub, I'm going to be trying an experiment. Someone hooked me up with an AlbiHub. The problem, I'm not using AlbiHub at the moment because I'm on Start 9 with C-Lightning, and AlbiHub only works with LND. So I'm getting hooked up with a AlbiHub situation, a little friend and family thing. I'm going to try it out. And then I'm really excited to try boosting from like Podverse, because I actually prefer Podverse. Okay, so basically the way I boost right now is I have the boost from Fountain from Strike. I'd put funds on there from Strike or something. I can't remember what I did. But anyway, boost from Fountain. But I prefer to listen in Podverse because Fountain, to be honest, as a podcast player, is kind of lagging. I don't want to hate on it too much because it is allowing this like thing to happen. But to be honest, it's now become a Noster first client, and Noster is still at the point where it overall application wise, compared to like how applications should work, and the only one I think I does as well is maybe Domus, but I'm on Amethyst, and Amethyst basically from any kind of app point of view kind of sucks. It's slow, it's laggy, takes forever to load. And I even have like a, you know, high end smartphone, and I'm not humble bragging. I'm just saying like it's slow. And, you know, I'm willing to put up with that because it's worth it for me. But the problem is when I want to listen to podcasts and going into Fountain, it's kind of like, ugh, you know, you click on something, it doesn't load, chapters don't load. It's just very laggy. So I prefer listening on Podverse, which I think is a better podcast player. But then I can't boost from Podverse. So I'm super excited. Although Fountain has been good to me, I've really gotten a lot of exposure from Fountain. You know, a lot of people on Noster on Fountain. Like I wish it gets resolved, but I feel like with the Noster integration, it is unique that it's bringing in the Noster side, but I feel like their podcast feature has kind of taken a second seat to Noster, and I hope that flips. That's just me. Okay. The postcard protocol is going well. I got my first postcard. Super excited. Don't know who it is. So the anonymity feature of Analog is working and alive. You know, I was kind of like, oh, you know, is this going to work? Whatever. And I got to say, I'm very excited for this, you know, for what the person's listening. I am waiting on two things. I got to finish the J cards. They get you the new tape, and I want these new cassette mailers. So once I have these two things, I will send out your cassettes. I might give you some extra bonuses there because you were the first person. So I'm going to reward you for being the first person to send a postcard. There's also a postcard protocol for Ellen Beats, which I'll talk about in a second. But yeah, you know, what I'm really liking about this, postcard protocol is, and I'm kind of, there's a lot to talk about on the value for value thing at the end, but what, to kind of foreshadow that, what is a problem where I think there's a lot of conflicts with value for value and capitalists, basically Westerners, is that, you know, in a capitalist society, we are very efficiency driven. So we put the prices on things. So you go in the grocery store, you look at the price of an apple or whatever. You can, you know what the price of everything you're buying. You go to the checkout thing, it gets rung up. You zip out. Okay. And this allows efficiency is a capitalist property because it allows things to scale. And that is why prices on things are upfront. Now, if you don't put a price on something, and there's lots of cultures that do this. I have a decent amount of exposure to Arabic cultures, for example, and it's haggling is like a big thing. It's a much different, the medium is the message. Again, Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message. So you go into a bazaar, an actual bazaar, and there's no prices. And you're kind of expected to haggle and talk with them. And that's because relationships are the prime mover in that society. Not the, it's here, I like it. Sometimes you want to, you don't really want to talk to someone. You want to buy your stuff and leave. But that's a very much a Western society, capitalistic ideal. In other societies, they focus on the relationship first. So you kind of, you're forced to talk to somebody, to barter with them. And by doing something value for value, and by doing this postcard protocol, I'm purposefully rubbing against the grain of this kind of, you know, basically propagandized Westernized society. I'm using that term specifically because I've been reading a lot of Jacques Ellul, who talks about how like propaganda is basically throughout a culture. And there are things as Americans, as Westerners, that are inside of us, that are ideas and culture as a result of propaganda that we whether it's uncomfortable to recognize, but you should really read his book because it is completely pervasive. And you see this when you go into different cultures and you see how their propaganda works different than ours. So by doing this postcard experiment, I'm completely rubbing against the grain. And value for value is also a way of rubbing against the grain of this kind of efficient market, right? It is saying, it's a big middle finger to how this should work. And it is not meant to be efficient. It's meant to wake people up. You know, it's, if you, and I guess this kind of transitions into the value for value discussion that I'm seeing. Look, if you, there's no one is wanting to not get paid. Okay. But if you want to efficiently get paid, put a barcode on your stuff and put it on a platform. And that will be the easiest way for you to get paid. That is the most efficient way. It's already figured out. You don't do value for value. Cause that is going to, you know, put it on Bandcamp. Honestly, I probably have bought more cassettes, you know, sight unseen on Bandcamp. In fact, if I want to buy a cassette on Bandcamp, I don't even listen to the music because if I listen to the music, I might go, oh, I may not like this music as much as I thought. And so I actually will see an artist that's posting in a genre, whatever. So I'll look at it a little enough to know like, okay, I kind of get the vibe that they like, but I will buy it without listening to the music. And that's because I want to support people doing releases on cassette. And so that to me, for me buying an artist on Bandcamp with a cassette, that is a better signal. I want to support anyone who's doing something with a cassette, the prime thing. And then if I happen to like your music, it's even better. So I'm giving myself a greater than 50% probability of liking my music by being like, okay, is this a punk? Or, you know, just kind of getting a sense, or maybe I just like the cover art, whatever. So I do like look, but cassette people are supporting cassette people. Okay. But if you want to quickly get paid, then put it up on Bandcamp. Because then you'll get paid right up front and then we'll give it to you. Like it's a join the platform. Like that is probably the best way. In fact, there's another platform that is launching and I'm blanking on the name. Someone was pitching it to me on Substack that is like a co-op model. It's even better. So it's like basically they're pitching it as a co-op something FM, subvert.fm, I think is what it's called. And it's basically imagine Bandcamp, but with a co-op model. So everyone's a part owner. Perfect. Join that. You know, like you will efficiently get paid if that is the goal. Value for value to me is a radical the Subvert people are trying to break the music industry. They're doing all these same words. Okay. But what value for value means is a complete rethinking of how we pay people. You know, it's breaking basically a brainwash propaganda Western idea. And it's almost going back to an Eastern concept of relationships. And this is what I think is missing in people think that, you know, oh, you guys don't like to get paid, starving artists. No, I think and the biggest proponent of this and the biggest example I can say that supports this argument is the show Homegrown Hits. Because what these ladies do on Thursday night is they have a live show. And in this live show, they're playing decentralized music. So like the most, you know, the people who are out there hosting this stuff themselves. Okay, they're supporting those artists. They're talking about those artists. They're giving them exposure. They are, you know, there's a live community calling in, doing live boosts. This is basically, you can almost what like original radio used to do. Okay, right? You would listen music. Has to grow on you. And when you see other people liking something, you are more prepared to like it. And that's just the nature of the fact. If you see 100 people in a room dancing to something, you go, oh, that must be pretty cool. Versus there's one guy over here listening to Red Poetry, right? You're going to be presupposed to like the other thing better. And so Homegrown Hits, I think, is the, and there's other shows doing it, like, but I just happen to really like, so I'm not like, I know there's other value shows doing this. So I'm not trying to say they're not doing it. I just really like Homegrown Hits. And so they are, I think, more critical in this value for value sphere than, I think they do realize it, but I don't think a lot of other people realize it, because they are playing the tracks, they're talking about them, they're building a community, and they're focusing on the relationships. And that is such in line with how value for value works. It is a relationship-driven model. And that is, I think, it completely goes against all of the Western capitalistic, just let me put a price on it, let me put a barcode on it and buy it. And I think that's where the friction is. And once that kind of clicks, I think once you realize it's building relationships and building a community that who want to support you, the people I pay on Substack, for example, it's because I support them as a person. When I'm boosting somebody, I'm generally boosting the person or the band, not the actual song. Like, I want to support the people who are doing it. Let's take Van Halen or whatever. You could think of some like, let's use Taylor Swift, for example, right? So I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but if you're a Taylor Swift fan and you like the music, it's, do you like the music or do you like Taylor Swift as a person? And I think a lot of those fans really identify with her as a person. And then her music is kind of like, okay, she just happens to be singing, you know? So that's why people are paying $20,000 to go see Taylor Swift, because they like what she embodies. Okay. And that is, I think, in 2024, that's where I think it goes. And the value for value concept, the people who seem to get it more understand that that is the principle. Putting up a track on some sort of website and having it just be like boosted, that doesn't do anything for me. Like, it has changed. Things have changed. And what has changed is, I think we're in the content creator space where music is a content that's being created. Unfortunately, to put it like that, is community and relationships are the key. And when you have those, that community of 1,000 true fans is what is going to, it does not scale. Okay. And this won't scale that, but that's the point. And that's why value for value to me is crafted the way it is. It is meant not to scale. It is meant to come up with 1,000 true fans who really identify with what you're doing, support you, who you are as a person, and want to help you on your journey. And you can live off that. And it can be done. And that's, and there's this guy, Ian Katnack, on Substack. And he's, I wouldn't say he's doing it the value for value way on Substack, but he preaches this 1,000 true fans, and he's doing it, and it's with writing. And it's pretty awesome to see. There's a lot of, awesome people doing this kind of stuff. And so, that's what I say on value for value. To me, it is about building relationships. I want people to support Bitpunk FM, or people who I want to actually know and talk to. And I want to get their work on the tape. And I want, you sending me a boost from, like, the boosts are appreciated, whatever, but I'd rather it be like, okay, you got what I'm doing. Let's have this discussion. How can I collab with you? How can you do this? I want to build these relationships. I want to actually awaken people to some content. That's why I like, there's some more artistic stuff going on there with poetry and some other things. This is the kind of community I'm trying to build, with Bitpunk FM, to get, kind of like, there's this kind of a pseudo awakening of things, really, not everything is pseudo, just like a pure awakening. And yeah, it's hard to put money value on some of that. Like, if I'm not, I'm not going to turn it down if you want to give me, but there's like, there's more there than money. And it all goes back to this kind of value, this kind of like philosophy of, are you efficiency focused or are you relationship focused? And I think value for value is relationship focused. So that's all I'll say about that. I haven't done these in a while. I'm getting pretty busy here trying to get out the next tape, but I'm still learning. This is just my thoughts on how everything is going. So let me know how this is resonating with you, and I will talk to you on the next one. Later. Okay, so I had some tape left. So I just want to make this last point, which I remembered, is that I think another confusion that comes up is there's a difference between self-sovereignty and value for value. And you can be self-sovereign without doing anything value for value. And I do think you can do value for value stuff without not doing it in a self-sovereign way. But there is, I think, a frustration of people who seem to indicate they want to be self-sovereign, but then are choosing to do value for value not in a self-sovereign way. And what I would just say is that, you know, I watched this documentary called Zappa on Frank Zappa. It was amazing. But, you know, back in 1977, he realized that he, as an artist, had to take control of his own art and made it his own label when it was very, very hard to do so. And I mean, listening to that interview, I mean, the vibe I got from Frank Zappa was very much in line with being like a self-sovereign, like value person. So I would just encourage people to go watch that documentary because I think it gives that vibe of what that is. And also I have to say in 2024, like being on a platform and I'm, you know, on Substack, but I don't consider that my like main thing is the problem with being on a platform is your art looks the same as everyone else's. My poetry shows up next to some crazy post on Substack. If your song is on a music platform, it looks like any other song on that music platform. And I just think it's kind of ridiculous. You know, if like one of the things that everyone tells you to do is to get off platforms, and that's how you take control over your own destiny. So, you know, for me, like I'm basically doing cassettes. That's like, I'm off platform, doing analog cassettes, but for everyone else doing whatever their art is, I think they have to think about it. But it is, I think, you know, just go back and watch that Zappa documentary, and you'll see why he had this attitude, because he was trying to do something that didn't fit in with other music of that era. And he was very much had a vision, and it was a very inspiring documentary. So I'll just, you know, leave with that note.